beware. But it's not beware of a bridge that is out ahead. It's beware of something else. And that is the little foxes. Now, you may not remember anything else about this lesson other than this part of the lesson. And we're not going to talk about the little foxes till we get a little bit later in the lesson. But they're in the Bible. There are some big foxes and there are some little foxes. And I want us to talk this morning about the little foxes. Now, the concept of beware is found in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 talks about the fact that there's the unfruitful works of darkness, and that we have an obligation as children of God to stand up for what we believe. Nothing wrong with being ashamed of your faith. I know in an age of political correctness, sometimes we sort of wimp out sometimes when it comes to spiritual matters, but that's not where the Lord wants us to be. Stand fast and believe what you believe, and don't be afraid to speak and to verbalize it. And so the verse says, expose it. And then he says, the reaction is that those things that are exposed are manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. But you and I need to understand that people are going to get upset when you stand for that which is right. In fact, he says it's shameful to even speak of some of the things that are happening in this world. And isn't that true? I mean, you stop and think about what's happening in America and all of the slime and evil and vileness there is. Sometimes you're almost even on the evening news wanting to put an X rating on the news if you're not careful, because of all the kinds of things that's happening. But then he says in verse 15 that you walk circumspectly. Any idea what that word means? If I talk about to inspect, that means to look into, right? We understand the idea of what is involved in being a spectator. But this verse says that we ought to circumspect. And circumspect means like the word circumvent. To go all the way around. We ought to walk looking around us to be alert of everything that is happening. And so when we talk about this matter of beware, that's where that comes from. You open your eyes and you look around you and you walk as individuals who are living in the light, but you need to walk looking around you to be aware of some of the things that could endanger you. Now, that's the beware part of this lesson. Where on earth do the foxes come from? What are the foxes in the Bible all about? Can you think of anywhere in the Bible that the word fox or foxes is found? It's found in nine verses in the Bible, some 11 times in nine verses. Now, look inside your head and think about, can I think of any place in the Bible where foxes are mentioned? Well, there are two, and I didn't know which one of these two to make the first ones that I think will come immediately to mind. I think this one comes to mind because of this story that I heard when I was a child, and that is the story about Samson. In Judges chapter 15, there is the story about Samson, and there's so many things amazing about that story. If you're not aware of it, you need to read Judges chapter 15 and just learn all of the things that transpire there. Samson becomes the avenue by which God brings judgment on the enemies of God. Because of the things that are happening in his life. In fact, they'd given his wife to another individual. And when he arrived there expecting his wife to be there, the Philistines had already given her away to somebody else. Even though he had married her, even though she belonged to him. He was so upset. And I read this as a child. He caught 300 foxes. And I can remember thinking as a child, Samson could do anything. And I never really thought about, until my adult life, how on earth would you ever capture 300 foxes? You know, as a child, he didn't do anything. Sort of like that preacher who was preaching that sermon about Samson. And, he kept talking about Samson, and his wife kept giving him a signal. I don't know if, David, if you and Tracy have signals where she can just look at you and you know you've said something. Judy's heard me preach over the years. There's just a look she gives me that I know I've said. Well, he was preaching this sermon about Samson, and all through the sermon, he kept talking about Samson. And on the way home, he said, "Honey, what's wrong with that sermon?" She said, "Who's that strong man in the Bible?" He said, "Well, it's Samson." She said, "Why did you keep calling him Tarzan all the way through that sermon?" And so... And so if Tarzan can get 300 foxes, then I'm sure Samson could, you know. Just an amazing thing for me to invent. How would you capture them? How would you hold on to them? Where would you put them? And then he took a firebrand, a stick that was on fire, tied the tail of those 300 foxes together, got 150 pairs of foxes with a burning stick between their tails, and they run out and burn out all the fields of the Philistine. Did you think of that story? As you think about foxes in the Bible, is that the one? What about the one where Jesus talks about foxes? Whenever the man said, Lord, I want to follow you, and Jesus says, wait a minute. Don't you understand? The foxes have dens and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. So four of the 11 times the word fox is found in the Bible, we've already looked at. Those are verses that we may know a little bit better. Do you know Jesus called somebody a fox? Jesus said, go tell that fox. Did that one come to your mind? Is this? Hey, can you think of all of the 9 times that foxes are found in the Bible? I certainly could not until working on this lesson. But I know the story whenever he was talking about Herod and how evil Herod was and how cunning he was. You go tell that fox. Jesus did not hesitate to deal openly with that which was wrong. And here's King Herod. And he's known for being so deceptive and the things that are involved in his life. And so that's the King Herod that was called the fox. Do you know anybody that talked about foxes knocking down a wall? In the book of Nehemiah, there's an enemy of the Jews when they've come back from Babylonian captivity. And there is Tobiah, the enemy of the Jews, and they're building the walls of the city, and he said that wall is so fragile that even the foxes would run up against it and knock it down. And then there are 2 other places where in Ezekiel chapter 13, Ezekiel talked about the false prophets, and they're like foxes, and that's another lesson within itself. And then in the book of Lamentation, and to my knowledge, it's the first time in 5 years I've used the book of Lamentation for a verse in a sermon. And so in the book of Lamentation, it says Jerusalem is desolate. The Jews are on the way headed to Babylon. And Jeremiah is lamenting over the city. And he says, why, it's a place, it's desolate. It's where the foxes are found. And then I think the first time in 10 years that I've ever used this next book in a sermon, and that's Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is the place where you read about the little foxes. Little foxes. What on earth do little foxes have to do with anything at all in the Bible? Well, in that book, and by the way, we're going to be studying the books of prophecy in our Soldiers of Christ that will be beginning soon. Books of poetry, I mean, that will be beginning soon. And this is one of the books we'll study. Here is that individual who's in love with Solomon, and she wants everything to just be perfect. And she's describing in a poetic way the beautiful vines where they have all of these grapes. And says, you know, we don't want we want everything to be right whenever Solomon and I get together, and we don't want the foxes to have come and eaten the grapes. Evidently, in biblical times, that was a big problem. They'd have their grapevines, and the foxes would come in. And they would do everything to keep the foxes out. But sometimes, and here's the whole point, listen to this. Sometimes they'd forget about the little foxes. And so the woman in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, talks about, watch out for the little foxes that eat the vines. Well, now, wait a minute. You and I need to understand that we are endangered, not literally by foxes, but by he who is as sly as a fox, who is described, you know, as his servants are described as ravenous wolves. You and I need to understand that there are some dangers that come into our life, but it's very possible for us to see the great dangers. You and I probably, if we talked about those things that would attack our faith, we probably could really begin to talk about that which is attacking our faith. You know, you stop and think about what's happening in America right now, and you'll come to a realization there are some great dangers that are facing this land. There is the removal of spirituality and every reference to God in our schools. And the easiest people to mock on this earth are those Christians who have a fundamental belief in the Bible and stand for that which is right. You and I probably recognize the danger that America is under in relationship to the recent judgment in California, where a judge overruled the will of 73% of the people of the state of California. One man overruled because, as it has later been revealed, he himself was a practicing homosexual, has now laid aside. And this Wednesday, unless something intervenes, this Wednesday there will be homosexual marriages all over California. Folks, we need to understand that God might need to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah when He's letting America continue to stand. We're aware of those dangers. We're aware of the dangers of evolution, of the idea that says that man is just simply, of all of the animals that are on this earth, man has evolved the highest, and therefore here we sit at the top of the pyramid, and where's God? What did God have to do with all of this? What about my eternal soul? What about my eternal spirit? An ape or any ape-like creature does not have an eternal soul and does not have an eternal spirit. And when in our land we're teaching that man is simply the highest of the evolved animals, we remove the spiritual side of man. And when we leave God out of the origin of this earth, we remove the responsibility that every one of us will feel toward giving an answer to that God and serving that God. We are aware of the great dangers. But are you aware that there can be some little dangers in some of the most amazing places? I want you to think about Gethsemane. I want you to think about those little foxes in Gethsemane. You're with Jesus and you're in the upper room. And Jesus says that one of you will be offended or will betray me this night. And every one of them said, "Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is it I?" And when Peter said, "Though all men forsake you tonight, I will not forsake you," and that was echoed by everybody in that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine at a time like that, anybody sensing that there was any danger? There they are. They have just seen the Lord's Supper instituted and the reference to the coming kingdom. They have just celebrated the Passover feast of the victory that God gave over the Egyptians. And now they head out to Gethsemane. And when Jesus arrives in Gethsemane, He says, "I want you guys to watch and pray." You stop and think about what a special place Gethsemane was. Was there ever a time that those 11 disciples who were there should have been walking circumspectly? Is there any danger around us? Here we are and we're with the Lord and we're at the place twice in the Bible. By the way, I'll answer that twice in the Bible in just a minute. Do you know why Judas knew Jesus would be at Gethsemane? How on earth did Judas know that's where Jesus was? When Judas last left him, he was there in the upper room. Twice in the Bible. Luke chapter 22 is about verse 39, and John chapter 18 and verse 2. Twice in the Bible, the Bible says Jesus often went there. He often met His disciples there. And so here they are in a place of reverence. Here they are in a place where the Lord Himself is praying and where the church, put that in quotation marks, has been told, "Now you guys be praying." Who would have thought what was about to happen? And when the Lord comes and wakes them up and says, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Tied to that word watch is the matter of prayer. Could you not be there? praying. I'm praying. Could you not watch and pray? I'm going to go yonder and pray, but you pray for yourself that you enter not into temptation. If you told those disciples in that upper room that this very night every one of you will be offended at me. Do you know the only apostle that left the Gethsemane with Jesus? The only apostle that stood beside Jesus as he left Gethsemane was Judas. Read the account in Matthew 26. They all forsook him and fled. Folks, there are dangers. We see the big foxes, but there are those little foxes that we need to be aware of. Let me see if I can illustrate. Why on earth do we think about big sins and little sins? You stop and think about that. Little sins. Does it really make any difference if I tell the truth all the time? Does it really, you know, I mean, it'd be all right to tell a lie, you know. Some of the time, would it not? I just stand amazed, perhaps you do too, that in the Ten Commandments, there is that commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. I stand amazed when in the book of Proverbs, there are seven things that are an abomination to God. We'll be memorizing those a little bit later this month. Seven things that are abomination to God. And two of the seven things are lying, bearing false witness. Is there any danger of telling lies? You put it in every circumstances. You lie to your boss. What's the consequences of it? Let me tell you what a Christian in Birmingham said whenever the boss said to him, in reference to a phone call that this Christian had answered, you go tell that man such and such, and it was a lie. And the Christian said to that boss, if I'll lie for you, I'll lie to you. You don't want a liar working in this place. Could have cost him his job. But there's so much lie. You want to destroy a marriage? You want to destroy a relationship? Then live in a lying relationship. You'll destroy a marriage. There's some little things. We'll come back to this point, but you and I need to understand the Bible just talks about sin as sin. You read Revelation 21:8. Do we not know that one pretty well? We know the last phrase of Revelation 21:8, but the first part of that talks about those who are sexually immoral and those who are evil and vile in every other respect. And when you get to the last part of Revelation 21:8, and it says, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. Folks, there's a little fox you and I need to be aware of. Young people, don't you ever lie to your parents. And parents, don't you ever lie to these children. You want to destroy their confidence in you. You want to destroy them. Then lie to them about insignificant things. The point you and I need to understand is liars lie. And anybody in any relationship that you've ever heard lie to somebody else in your presence will lie to you. And yet that's a little sin. But you look at this matter of little foxes. Can we talk about some brothers who were jealous because their brother had clothes that were better than them? Do you know the story of Joseph and his coat of many colors? You know where that all starts? It all starts with a little fox. Brothers, you're just jealous over that. I wish I had that. Covetous. Oh, it may have symbolized more than just the garment itself. But do you understand that here was a little fox that was there, and they were evidently just living along with that little fox that was there? Do you understand the danger of the little fox of jealousy? Because somebody else has something that you don't have. Well, that's okay. That's just the way I am. I'm just jealous by nature. I just wish they didn't have it. I wish I had it. There's a little fox that is there. And that little fox who begins to spoil the grapes begins to bring other foxes into that same vineyard, to speak figuratively. And then there they are, trying and plotting to kill their own brother. Where did it all start? Oh, it started with a little fox over here. You and I need to understand the very nature of little foxes are that they bring other foxes along with them. And where there's grapes to be harvested, and where the enemy is able to begin to destroy, he doesn't begin all of time with the great big foxes. There's the will to kill their brother, and there's the covetousness that allows him to be sold as a slave, and there is the deception, the lie that is a part of their relationship to their father for the next 20 years. Where'd all that start? It could have been prevented had those brothers walked circumspectly and say, "What's the fruit? Where can this lead to in relationship to my life?" Walking circumspectly. But not just that. You began to look at the coat of many colors, and then think of that time in the life of David, when at a time kings were supposed to go to war. David has one of those days when he had a responsibility and he didn't fulfill that responsibility. The work of a king was not to be in the palace. The work of the king was to be that mighty warrior like King Saul was and like David was in the early part of his reign. But there is that day in the life of David when he has nothing to do. Oh, he has something to do, but he's not fulfilling that responsibility. Listen, there's a little fox there in that palace. And that is the idleness and the irresponsibility of a David at a time like that. And so he goes and he sees that woman, Bathsheba, bathing. I have no idea about her life and everything that was involved in that. I have no idea as to whether she may have on purpose or may not have on purpose. She may have been aware or may not have been aware. But here is a king that's not fulfilling his responsibility. And do we not get out of that expression? An idle mind is the devil's workshop. And you look at this story. And there David is and all that is involved in his life. And within that period of his life, who would have ever told David, you will be guilty of murder. David, you will be guilty of adultery. David, you will be guilty of bringing shame and disgrace on God. Who would have ever thought? But it all came from the little fox. Little foxes. Could we talk about our lives? Could we talk about the little foxes that there are involved in dating and marriage? Could we talk about the danger of things that maybe, well, it's not that great a thing at all? Are you sure? Are you sure there is not some danger in some of the things that are involved in the dating situation? The matter of touching people in the wrong places? promiscuousness? Well, I love him so much, or I love her so much. You and I need to understand the danger of things like that. Is there any danger in a boy and a girl being alone in a car together? Is there any danger in a young man and a young lady being in a house by themselves? Oh, we're not going to do anything wrong. We're just going to study together. Hello? Beware of the little foxes. You and I need to have an understanding and appreciation of things that can happen in that way. I'm hesitant to even use this illustration, but I decide to go ahead and do it. Just don't tell my relative. Recently, one of my relatives, younger female, on Facebook, had a picture in which there was a great exposure of her bosom. Her own mother sent her a message and said, pull your shirt up. She was in a distant city, didn't know anybody there. Well, her boyfriend was going to be there, and I suspect she thought, in all innocence, I just want him to see how attractive I am. And then she writes in another post there, walking beside a bar, a man stared at me and the way I was dressed in such a way that I slapped him as hard as I could, and the bouncers came and congratulated me. Folks, immodest dress is not selective on the people who might lust in relationship to that. And so when the Bible magnifies the matter of sexual purity, the greatest treasure you can ever bring to the marriage bed is for young men and young ladies who become older men and older ladies to be virgins. And not just technical virgins, but virgins because they have saved their self and their body parts for their mates. Young people, think about your life. You see the danger that's out here in relationship to illegitimacy. But there's the danger of the little foxes that God wants you to walk circumspectly in relationship. Can we talk about marriage? Can we talk about those little foxes that have crept in and destroyed other marriages? The little foxes that say, well, my husband won't talk to me, but I have met this man at work and he is so understanding. And I can just talk to him. I'm not revealing something to you, am I, that you're not aware of other people, that when you said, when your marriage fell apart, where did you meet him? And all of a sudden he talks about how nice he was because my husband at home was not that nice to me. Hello? There's a little fox that is there. And you and I need to walk circumspectly and recognize the danger of being attractive to that individual and then responding to that attraction, not just one time, but then again and again and again until marriage is just about destroyed. And the same thing about you men. We live in a world where there is temptation that is all around us, and there are those that are beautiful and attractive. But a word to every man in this congregation, as you walk through life and you see all of these beautiful flowers, and suddenly one flower raises up and says,
Hello, little fox, little fox. And just the idle conversation that you might have with that individual, that idle conversation becomes not just a place for little foxes to enter in, but for all that comes from a broken home and a broken marriage. The little fox of losing your temper. Well, he just upset me so much and I just felt like I had to say that. Or let me tell you what she said, and then my response, hello, little foxes. And the Bible says when anger becomes rage, that we have given the devil a place in our lives. But it's a little fox, so I'm justified, because he was so angry and he was talking so evil to me that I just felt like I had a right to just talk back evil to him. Little fox, come on in, devil. I've invited you in. What about the matter of addiction? What about the little fox of addiction? When the Bible talks about by their fruits you shall know them. When you've dealt in counseling situations with lives that are destroyed by those who are addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol. Is there a little fox that we need to beware of? The recent advertisement, not religious advertisement, but social advertisement on the television, that one drink impairs the driver of that car. One drink. That's not preacher talk. That's television talk. And are you aware that 9 times... in the New International Version, the NIV, are you aware that 9 times the word beer is found? Ask that individual who struggles with addiction where it started. Ask that individual how he could have avoided winding up down where he has wound up. Young man I've known in Alabama for years. Recently, with his life ruined, said, I don't even drink. But because of problems in his life with a friend, he said, we had a few. I don't even remember getting in the car. Wrecked the car, lost his job. Little foxes. And you and I need to be so aware of that. In fact, we need to live being cognizant of the fact that every sin is addictive. Every sin is. The person who is a liar become so addicted to lying, you can't trust him because he may always be lying. The person who loses his temper and is guilty of anger and rage, the more he exercises and that lives his life in that way, the easier it is. The individual who curses. Oh, I only do it when I'm around guys at work, or, you know, that's the only time that I do it. Are you sure? What about whenever you slip up, when your mom's around, when your mate's around, when the children are around? You and I need to understand that every sin in my life and every sin in your life can lead to addiction to that sin again and again and again. You know where to stop it? Where the little foxes are. as you live your life, walk circumspectly, looking about, seeing where this might lead to. No wonder the Bible says, abstain from that which appears to be evil. See the big danger, but don't see the big danger isolated away from the little foxes that are the steps that lead to open sin and destruction of lives. Let's pray together. God, you've said that if we lack wisdom, we can ask you and you'll give it to us. And as your children, we bow before you this day, asking you to help each one of us to see things not just in the massive time when the evil is there, but to those doors by which they enter into our lives. God, give us wisdom to be able to see and to avoid the little foxes that come into the life of every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we sing this song of invitation as a time for those who need to obey the gospel to do that, to give their lives to the Lord. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Mark 16:16 says you've got to do it or you'll be condemned. Will you not then this day make up your mind to follow Him? The Bible abundantly in passage after passage talks about the responsibilities that we have to repent of the wrong that's in our lives. God now commands all men everywhere to repent. And when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, you can be baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27, there you're a child of God, forgiven. And then he says to those who are Christians, you just be faithful. Those who've been added to the church and to the body, you just be faithful and I will give you the crown of life. How can this church help you? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?